DigiDestined.
Hi, everybody.
Who upcast in their pod?
We upcast in our pod.
It's us. It's us. We're finally back.
We're finally back.
It's been 84 years.
Listen, we're two gays.
And this is our Digimon podcast.
And we're recording this in July because June just happened. And what do gay people do during June?
Oh,
they never flipping stop.
We last updated our podcast on March 7th of this year.
No, okay. I was using prior as an excuse. It's really been since March?
Well, no. It's been a long time because I, like, work a day job.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. You were going through a lot of intense stuff with your day job.
Yeah.
We both work with gay stuff aside from our day jobs.
Yeah.
I'm a drag
queen. Well, my day job is...
Your day job is gay stuff.
That makes it sound like I'm, like, selling my body.
Adult film actor.
Yeah. Which props to you if you do that. Shouts.
We're a pro sex work.
I work for an LGBT nonprofit. But again, no shame to sex workers. Y'all rule.
Yeah, you're a pro sex work. Anyway.
Welcome to our podcast about a children's cartoon.
It's been crazy. We've been so busy. We've been trying to get, like, I work with special needs people, which I think I said before,
mm-hmm.
special needs children specifically, and so I had to finish off my school year with mm-hmm. that. Now I'm on summer break, but then it was summer break and it was Pride. You're super busy during Pride. I'm super busy during Pride, and we're here. We have some new recording equipment, and we're here to talk about some Digimon episodes.
Yeah, you know what's crazy too?
Yeah.
I've been like, because you know what happens. I've been like in suspense. We got up to, like, the final sprint of the season.
We are in the...
And then had this, like, break. So it's kind of, like, me being,
stretch.
Like, not knowing what's going to happen and, like, frozen in this that moment in time in the season. Mm-hmm. Which is a very strange moment in time. The cat.
We're recording in our living room because it is too hot in our normal recording area.
Hot damn.
And if you hear our cats or you hear a fan or any random fireworks from our neighbors, I'm sorry, we... cannot control that.
Yeah. Those damn pesky fans, they just stand outside our window every day and shout, like, woo, you guys rock!
No, we love...
We're gonna subscribe to the Patreon! We don't have a Patreon.
If you're a fan of our podcast, you are not annoying.
No, we love you. Our cats also aren't annoying.
Our cats are a little annoying.
They're a little annoying, but, like, in a cute way.
In a cute way.
Just like me.
Do you think that one of our cats sounds like Gatomon?
No, I don't think so.
I think one of them would sound like Gatomon if she could talk. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I think she would say something like, this litter box ain't big enough for the both of us.
See, I think, not that she's a cat, but I think Sheila would sound like Rogue from X-Men. Like, more of like a thickly layered southern kind of thing.
Oh, our cats did come from the south, so.
Yeah, and I think Shiloh would just sound like a college girl.
So we did.
Anyway.
So we're back with episode 46 and 47 mm-hmm. of Digimon Adventure 02.
Only two episodes today, and why is that?
Because we decided that was the best way to cover the last stretch of episodes. So we
yeah.
did two last time, and we did two this time, and next time we're going to do, like, the last three.
Yeah, because these two episodes both focus on Black War Greymon.
Ugh.
So it's kind of like a two-part arc.
So, we already did one episode of the podcast this season where I cried about an episode of Digimon.
Be prepared, it's going to happen again.
It might happen again this time. So, we start off this episode, 46, is called Duel of the War Greymon.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Japanese, it is called, well, obviously, this is just the Japanese translation.
Yep.
War Greymon versus Black War Greymon, which is effectively the same thing as the English title.
I think the English one's more poetic, but also the translation might have lost the poeticism of...
I think that, I wonder if in English it was called Duel of the War Greymon, to kind of be like Duel of the Fates from Star Wars.
Yeah, because these came out around... Duel of the Fates was Phantom Menace, which came out like 99, and this episode came out like 01, 02?
Yeah, I think so.
So.
No, it came out in like 2000... It came out in 2001, because remember, we discussed in the... world tour arc that they really lucked out that this was pre-9/11.
Yeah, I forgot. It always comes back to 9/11, doesn't it?
It always comes back to 9/11. Anyway, so we have a Davis recap of the last episode, which was about them banishing Daemon to the Dark Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we not like that episode.
Yeah. I kind of had wiped it from my brain a little bit, even though we just watched, like, the recap of it, too.
Yeah, it was just a lot going on. I think that was our general vibe.
It was a lot going on, and it felt kind of unearned.
It did feel rushed, the whole thing. So, we start this episode at an office, and it is where Ken's dad works, and all of the DigiDestined, all the Adventure 2 DigiDestined are here. And Ken's dad has some kind of article about Oikawa, and it says that Oikawa just came, was here up until work last week.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone. So, does this mean that Ken's dad is also a journalist?
I thought Oikawa worked for the state.
No, well, because...
Because remember, he was, like, investigating the Odaiba incident, but it wasn't...
He was TK's mom said he was an investigative reporter.
Oh, maybe. Maybe everyone in this... Every adult in this universe is just a reporter.
Well, I like the way a lot of the adults are moving in this episode.
Yeah, I do too. In the next one.
So, Ken's dad said that Oikawa looks like just a normal guy. And then I was like, or no, Cody says that Oikawa looks like just a normal guy. And I'm like, no, he freaking doesn't.
Yeah.
First of all, he's really tall.
Yeah.
He's really tall.
And gaunt.
And he looks like a skeleton man.
He looks like someone sucked out like 20% of his insides.
Yeah, yeah.
I did write in my notes.
And that's
He's always been a creepy little freak.
Yeah, he's a little freak.
Yeah. Also, I just want to point out, it is really funny that you said, I love the way the adults are moving in this episode, because that is also a Love Island euphemism.
Yes, we've gotten obsessed with Love Island.
Yeah. So we've been saying stand on business.
But I'm not more obsessed with Love Island than I am with File Island, baby.
Oh my god. Okay, which did you think there is winning Love Island?
We're not doing that right now.
Okay.
We will discuss the shipping in our wrap-up episode of Adventure.
Okay, fair enough.
So, we cut from the DigiDestined to Oikawa, and there is a great bit with Aruk. They're like at their hideout or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great bit where Oikawa says, like, Arukenimon is struggling with a door.
Mm-hmm.
And Oikawa is like, Arukenimon, I think that door is a push. And then she has ripped the handle off of it and goes, well, it is now.
Oikawa says something actually I thought really interesting but subtle in this.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the first thing he says in the episode is they cut to, like, where they are, where, like, they're at Mount Fuji and it's, like, not a snowstorm, but it's, like, snowing and it's very pretty.
Yeah, because it's still around holiday season.
Right. And Oikawa says something to the effect of, sometimes this world can be beautiful after all. And I'm like, that actually really says a lot about him. Like, it shows a soft side of him for a second. It also shows, like, that the whole world is something he's, like, trying to reject.
Well, his appearance is one thing, but he's just goth, you know?
Yeah.
But we see in this episode that there's something else about him that is off and mysterious. And that's, I think, is part of it. That's, I think, our first hint.
Mm-hmm.
So then we are seeing some TV discourse where, you know, the public is arguing about the sightings of the Digimon all across the world, that it's some government conspiracy, or, you know, aliens, or a collective hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to some of the Dark Spore kids, and we are seeing that the effects of the Dark Spore are starting to take shape. One of the Dark Spore kids has just finished, like, all of his homework for the winter break.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know if winter break happens like that in Japan, but maybe it does, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents are, like, saying how much of a genius he is, and, like, maybe they should call, like, he just got back from being kidnapped by these people, and then, like, now he's, like, a super genius, and then maybe he'll become a media darling, like Kenichi Joji, and then they'll be famous because they'll be parents of a genius on TV.
Yeah,
and I'm like, God, what awful people.
Yeah, when the dance moms.
We didn't really see if Ken's parents were like that.
No, I don't think... I think we saw that they weren't. I think they were...
I think they were proud of their son for being really smart.
I think they were, like, impressed that their son was able to, in their eyes, overcome the trauma of his brother dying.
Mm-hmm. I think that the Dark Spore is a metaphor for depression.
Yeah, I think low-key, like, maybe, like, puberty. Depression
Digimon is about puberty.
Yeah.
And the growing up process.
I guess this is growing up.
Work.
Like when A2 called it.
So then
I was gonna say, They're one of the interesting things about the Darkspore kids is they keep using this specific wording of insects to describe, like, the kids and stuff, mm-hmm. which is, like, it's multiple different kids who do it, so it's weird that it's, like, that specific.
Well, when I'm like, okay, they were kidnapped by Arakenimon, who's a spider.
Yeah.
So they were lured into her web, like insects.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
And then two, a couple of them call Ken directly, like, an insect, or they call him Insect Boy. Mm-hmm. His partner Digimon's Wormmon.
That is interesting. Yeah.
So, let me cut to the Digidestined, the Adventure 2, mm-hmm. 02 team, and TK's mom recognizes Oikawa in the picture from the article that they got from Ken's father. And she has got to go off, but she has taken some notes, and she has written down the name of every single kidnapped kid. So she's
on it.
Detective Nancy Takashi on the case.
Absolutely.
Investigative reporter.
Queen, yeah. Nancy.
She has such a Nancy haircut, too. She has, like, a sensible bob. Very, yeah. very mom of the 90s.
Absolutely.
So Ken is feeling pressured to rescue the Darkspore kids to try to prevent them from falling down the same path that he went down. But our woman in STEM, Yoli, is the one to develop the plan.
Our woman in STEM.
Her plan is to send they're going to just basically follow TK's mom's notes and go to the addresses of these kids, try to talk to them.
Yeah. Try and warn them because they know exactly what's up.
Yeah. So, TK and Cody observe a girl named Noriko and see her kick a cat, but we don't see the cat being kicked, but they, like, imply that that's happened.
Yeah, which I wrote in my notes, she kicked the cat, then let her perish.
Yeah. We're a pro-cat household.
Yeah. They're anti-kicking them.
Yeah. But we do like cats that kick butt, like Gatomon.
True.
So, Davis, Ken, and Kari have no luck at one of the doors. The mom, like, basically screams at them to go away. But the unsinkable Davis is unfazed.
Well, Davis makes, like, an insanely dated reference where after the door slammed in his face, he goes, like, man, how does anyone sell encyclopedias anymore? Which, like, for the youngins who aren't aware, back before Wikipedia was a huge thing, people used to buy encyclopedia books.
Oh, don't think back when the youngins, because I had an encyclopedia.
So did I.
I loved my I still have my encyclopedia of animals.
Yeah, but there could be someone listening to this that's younger than the existence of Wikipedia.
I understand that, but, like, I don't want to condescend to them.
Fair. And people used to go door-to-door selling encyclopedia books, like, just out of the blue.
Yeah, this was a joke that someone's dad wrote in the 90s or whatever, like.
Yeah.
It was very, because I mean, like, I don't even think that was something people did when I was a child.
Yeah.
So, it was clearly something that someone remembered from, like, their childhood in, like, the 60s or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, he bounces back.
Davis bounces back real quick.
Kari says one, like, vaguely nice thing to him, and he's like, spirits are high once again.
Yeah, one thing Davis is going to do is he's going to bounce back. So, then we cut back to the bad guys, and we get the Barefoot Mummymon.
The Barefoot Mummymon.
Mummymon is...
How bad is that?
How bad could that be?
Bondage. Actually, he is kind of wrapped in bondage, isn't he? Yeah. Bandage.
Bandage.
Wrapped in parchment.
Yeah, you'll see. So, Mummymon is filming his audition for Iron Chef. He's making them dinner while Arakenimon and Oikawa are watching the news or something. Or
Arakenimon's, like, looking out the window.
Yeah, and complaining about the snow.
Like, she's never seen snow before, even though there's snow in the digital world.
Yeah, we've seen that. But I think what is most disappointing about the Oikawa introduction is that Mummymon and Arakenimon are, like, no longer a threat.
Yeah.
They're just, like, resigned to be Oikawa's lackeys.
Yeah, instead of being, like, one capable villain and one buffoon, now it's kind of just two buffoons.
And I guess it's kind of par for the course for this season, because we did see that, like, Ken was really part of Arukenimon's plan. Arukenimon is really part of Oikawa's plan. So who knows what that means.
Yeah.
That's been a pattern, though. Mm-hmm. So, Arukenimon gets booted outside by Oikawa because she's annoying him.
Mm-hmm. A likely place for her to be.
Disrespect my queen. And she sees a meteor fall to Earth. And in the meteor...
Black War Greymon!
When he was a young boy who descended from a a meteor.
Oh my god.
So, we cut back to the kids, and our woman in STEM continues to girl boss the situation. She has distributed, you know, like, made a schedule for everyone to follow the Darkspore kids around to try to keep track of them. Mm-hmm. Yoli is the woman in the chair.
Yes.
Blackboard Greymon locates Arukenimon, Mumimon, and Oikawa, and girl, he mad.
Oh, he's mad.
He real mad.
He drops, like, a super metal line. Well, first of all, he, like, blows up their house, interrupts Mumimon's
cooking
and sleep-talking.
Yeah.
Which, like, he's Mumimon's sleep-talking?
Oh, because they're asleep. For real. They're asleep.
Yeah, it's like overnight.
It's, like, the next morning, yeah.
And then they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I wish to gaze upon the face of my creator.
Yeah, that happens, but first...
Oh.
Yoli has organized the surveillance... Because the cuts of this episode are a little intense. So we see that Yoli has organized the surveillance of the Darkspore kids, and the Kamiyas, that's Tai and Kari, for those following along at home...
Mm-hmm.
Learn of Blackboard Greymon's path of destruction in the digital world, which they've come to visit, or to come to see, probably, maybe at the behest of Agumon.
Yeah.
And they use a digital gate to travel to Mount Fuji, because Agumon can now become War Greymon, because he got a power-up from Azulongmon.
Right.
So now back to what you were saying. Blackboard Greymon threatens Mom and Dad, and Blackboard Greymon says he wants to look upon the face of his creator.
Yeah.
But he says that if Arukenimon created him, then who created Arukenimon and Mumimon? Turns out, it was Oikawa, who created them by using his own DNA.
Interesting. Which is really wild.
Interesting.
Like, if you think about it, they're like his fan fiction come to life.
They're like his Digimon partners, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But, like, as determined by him.
Yeah. So... Blackboard Greymon does a little bit more soul-searching and clocks Oikawa's tea, calling him a foreign object.
He does.
Which seems to really bother Oikawa.
It feels like a slur.
I don't think it's a slur, because okay. I think that Oikawa's the villain, so.
That's true.
Agumon comes in to try to stop the violence, but he must warp Digivolve to War Greymon to stop Black War Greymon. Nefertimon is in hot pursuit as the trio, Mom, Dad, and Oikawa, try to get away.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Mom, Dad, and Grandpa.
Mom, Dad, and Grandpa.
Yeah. Blackboard Greymon makes some valid points to War Greymon.
Mm-hmm.
If War Greymon really wanted to stop Oikawa, he would have gone after Oikawa instead of Blackboard Greymon.
Yeah.
And then we see Nefertimon starting the car chase, where she has a voice not unlike Mae West.
Yeah, it's very, like, bring me a whiskey on the rocks.
Rosetta my stone sometime, you see? War Greymon and Blackboard Greymon fight, and War Greymon tries to convince Blackboard Greymon to just be friends. Reinforcements arrived at the car chase, and we get a very funny bit about Davis and Ken going ahead to redirect traffic.
Yeah, so they don't run into
where they have a sign and, like, those things that, like, the flight attendants have on the tarmac.
Mm-hmm.
And it's camp. I don't know. It's one of the reasons that I love Digimon.
That they throw it into the middle of the intensity.
And that I love this season specifically.
Yeah.
So, there can only be one Blackboard Greymon, according to Blackboard Greymon in the fight.
Yeah.
So, they just decide... The battle's getting too close to the military base, but Digimon says, fuck the military. And is like, rock cracking! And is like, it's for your own good, boys! And then we see that the War Greymon battle over some zoo animals, which really threw you for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've never noticed, really, or paid attention to, but I think now, rewatching it and, like, becoming more acquainted with the whole realization that, like, yeah, they were really trying to cement this in Japan. There must be a zoo near Mount Fuji.
Yeah, and they're trying to, like, ground it in, like, a real world location.
So... Paioltremon appears to stop the car chase, but instead decides to go after the War Greymons. And he mega digivolves to help War Greymon, and the car chase continues. They bring the fight up to the clouds above Mount Fuji, which is a Kingdom Hearts-ass, like, battleground if I ever saw one.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool fight scene area. They bring it up there, so they're, like, trying to avoid collateral damage. So the car chase moves on to foot to a crowded mall where the kids are bested and they flee from the police.
And the trio gets away.
Even though Oikawa hates whimsy and fun and wouldn't let Momimon look at the jackets that were on sale.
Yeah. What a diva.
I know, he's so rude. So we cut back to the War Greymon fight, and this part got me very emotional. Mm-hmm. Everyone is lying, beaten on the ground, no one's gone, but, you know, Agumon and Vimon and Wormmon are all in their rookie forms, and then Black War Greymon just kind of, like, staring up at the sky, mm-hmm. lying on the ground, waxing poetically about how, like, he just wishes that someone could take him out and end his suffering.
And Wormmon's like, that's stupid.
Yeah, Wormmon tells him about himself. You know, Wormmon says that the whole time that Ken was the emperor, he never lost faith that Ken would come back to him. Mm-hmm. And he stuck by Ken the whole time. And Agumon tells him that, you know, his whole life doesn't have to be fighting and struggle. But if it is, he might as well be fighting and struggling for something he believes in. Like how Agumon believes in Tai. And, you know, Tai would be lost without him. And Vimon tells them they could all be friends if he'd let them. And some of the best times Vimon has had has just been eating and sleeping and hanging out with his friends. And Black War Greymon leaves, searching for a new purpose, saying one day maybe they can be friends. Which, I don't know. I just think I got emotional about it because I just wish that the world worked like that, I guess.
This episode really, for me, highlighted, like, what... Not only, like, what you love so much about the show, but, like, what you got out of the show initially, like, watching it initially as a kid. Because that's, like, so you-coded of a speech. I was like, did Adam write this?
Some of the best times in my life are just eating and sleeping and... hang out with my friends, hang out with you, watching Digimon eating potato skins.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just really like it. And I wish that, you know, we got a happier ending for Black Book Greymon, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay. And then Black Book Greymon says, like, maybe we could be friends one day.
Yeah.
Flies off. Yeah, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to take a brief break for me to collect myself.
No worries, baby.
So episode 47 is called Black War Greymon's Destiny, or Seal of Black War Greymon. Mm-hmm. Which you were confused as to why that was the title.
Yeah, even knowing what happens, I don't get... I guess I can see why it's a seal, but I don't know. I
think... So we get a recap from War Greymon, which at first I was like, why is Aquilamon giving the recap? And then I remembered they're the same voice actor.
Yeah.
So we start with the Adventure One partners, so Gabumon, Biomon, Tentomon, Palmon, and Gomamon, trying to seal the gate to Heighten View Terrace in the digital world, so because, you know, so they can prevent Digimon like Daemon from getting into the digital world, into the real world. Mm-hmm. In the real world, the news is doing a silly bit. As we see the Digidestined observing the Dark Spore kits. They do call the recent attacks from the digital world the work of goofballs. Which
can you imagine, like, some terrorist goofballs hit the Pentagon? Like, it's like such a non-serious word.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we cut to Cody and Grandpa, where Grandpa finally meets Armadillomon in a goofy fashion.
Speaking of goofballs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You versus the goofballs she tells you not to worry about.
Oh my god. She let me hit it because I'm goofy.
Oh my god. So Armadillomon steals the yogurt right out of Grandpa's hands underneath the table. And it turns out Grandpa knows all the tea on the digital world. Because Cody's dad had some kind of connection to the digital world. And Grandpa was worried about him. Because it was... probably, like, the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And
they were playing Dragon Quest.
They were trying to play in Dragon Quest, and Grandpa didn't like that newfangled technology.
Yeah.
It's because he'd be on that damn phone.
It's because he'd be on that damn... It's because he'd be on that damn joystick.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe he was on someone's joystick.
Oh, my God.
So Grandpa then covers for Cody when his mom wants to keep him home to try to keep him safe from the, you know, reported monster attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Grandpa's going to go out there with him.
Grandpa's a real one.
He's a real one, yeah.
Grandpa knowing about the digital world in general is crazy.
Based, as people would say.
Oh, God.
Noriko, a dark spore kid, is blooming early.
And being a bitch.
Yeah, she's been kind of a bitch.
She's the one who kicked the cat.
Yeah, her mom seems less shitty than those other kids' parents.
Yeah.
Just coming in to check on her to see if she needs anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Noriko, like, screams at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside, we see Cody and Yoli switching guard. And then we hear again Noriko freaking out on her mom. And, you know, they're worried about her. And Oikawa comes and tries to convert Cody to dark sporism.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oikawa stops because he notices Cody's kendo bag has the last name Hida on it. And apparently that's the only Hida family in Japan.
Yeah.
Oikawa knows Cody's dad and calls off Arukenimon and Mumimon from attacking.
Another bomb. A lot of truth bombs this episode.
Yeah, a lot of exposition. So Oikawa then, you know, he flees and he reminisces about his time with Cody's dad in the digital world.
It's kind of a tragic origin story.
It is, yeah. Cody's dad was his only friend, and he clearly hasn't processed his death. I started to think, and maybe this is just like my fanfiction rewrite brain that's been happening, as we've been watching along, but what if Cody's dad and Oikawa were maybe a little more than friends? Or maybe that's what Oikawa wanted.
Yeah.
Because he is giving, like, queer-coded character to me.
Absolutely.
And we learned last episode that he created Arukenimon and Mumimon in his image. And in the graveyard where Cody's father's buried, we see... Well, first we see some bats looming.
Mm-hmm.
To add to the gothic aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. And the Meiotismon-ness of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So Oikawa goes to Cody's dad's grave and is taunted by his inner demons, which manifest as Arukenimon, Mumimon, and Black Wolf Greymon. And he, like, Arukenimon, his inner saboteur, is calling him ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's what's on the inside that counts, is what Mumimon says.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Wolf Greymon's calling him a foreign object triggers him somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So then it got me thinking. You know, he's clearly queer-coded, and we cut to Arukenimon and Mumimon kind of pondering their own existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally had the realization that it probably, like, I don't want to say finally had the realization, because I feel like child me just kind of took it for what, like, at face value, that they have what we call as human DNA, which is probably what allows them to take human form.
Mm-hmm.
At least in this canon. I know that Arukenimon, being based off of, like, a Japanese yokai that, like, takes the form of a beautiful woman, but then is really, like, a giant spider, is part of why she can probably do that in other media mm-hmm. that she appears in. And then I wondered, I was like, well, if Oikawa created Arukenimon, and then, like, maybe he was in love with... So there was... And I was, like, two thoughts. I was like, okay, either he... Which is, like, a lonely guy, and he created Arukenimon, who's, like, his ideal woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, beautiful, but a boss. You know? Or he saw himself in that kind of relationship with Hiroki, Cody's father, and he created that dynamic for himself where, like, oh, he could be, like, this beautiful woman, Arukenimon, married to, like, who we observed in the flashback sequences, Cody's goofy dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though Arukenimon is always rejecting Mumimon, which is interesting.
Well, I think maybe that's, like, the power fantasy of it all. Like, oh, if he was a beautiful woman, he could just be like, huh, you know, like...
Yeah.
Rather than him being, like, a freakishly tall, queer man.
Yeah. I think it's hard to say whether that's the intention.
I don't know.
But I think it's certainly a way to read
but
it.
But it's a reading. Yeah.
Oh, it's a reading.
Oh, it... Oh, mama.
If there's one thing you're going to get on Two Gays and a Digimon podcast,
it's a reading.
Yeah. I mean, Wormmon already read
Wormmon,
Black Wargreymon when he was like, Wormmon,
House Down Boots. Yeah.
You're pathetic.
So, Cody questions his grandfather about his dad's morality, shook that Oikawa could be friends with his dad. Mm-hmm. Once again, lending credence to Cody's autistic theory. He tells Grandpa about Oikawa, and Grandpa just responds with, interesting.
Yeah.
We cut to Ken, who's tailing Noriko, and she confronts him. And Ken tries to reason with her, but she's not buying it, saying that he's pathetic for giving up all the power of the Dark Spore.
Yeah.
Just so people would like him. And then Ken says, I didn't give it up so people would like me, I gave it up so I'd like myself.
Mm-hmm. Which is, damn,
poetry. And we noticed that there's a recurring phrase where, like, all the Dark Spore kids are calling other people insects.
Yeah.
Which I do think we heard Ken call, like, Davis in them an insect.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
And then our Kennymon is Spider, yes, catching everyone in her web. And then Wormmon is Ken's partner. So she's not buying whatever Ken is selling. And as Cody and Davis show up, her dark spore blooms into a spider lily, which
is super creepy.
It's super creepy.
She's like a human Pikmin with like a whole ass flower on top of her head.
Yeah. But if any anime fans know, spider lilies usually mean bad news.
And spider.
Like our Kennymon.
Yeah. I was going to say Spider-Man, but yours makes more sense.
Spider-Mon.
Spider-Mon. Yeah. I need pictures of the Spider-Man.
Could you imagine if, like TK and Matt's dad was like, get me pictures of Spider-Mon!
Like a J. Jonah Jameson just shows up.
So then there's a fight between Arcanemon and Mummymon, and we got, Pyildramon and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And Oikawa harvests the flower from Noriko.
And gets, a weird purple aura.
Yeah.
It's super creepy. It's probably the creepiest thing that's happened in Digimon yet, honestly. It's really fucking weird.
This changed me when I first saw it.
And the girl is like, it's okay. It feels good, or whatever, and
I've been thinking about the Dark Spore being a metaphor for, depression and mental illness and stuff like that, trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what was going on with Noriko before that? Well, yeah. She seems like she's very sickly, because she's always wearing, a face mask.
Oh, baby.
So Cody steps to him, and Oikawa dumps a KO'd Noriko onto Cody and hits Cody with a hard line.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you'd be better off improving your mind rather than wasting time with all this saving the world nonsense. You see where it got your father.
Ooh! We're beating his ass.
Well, because, you know,
Cody, get him.
Yeah, Armadillomon's ready to swing on him.
Get her, girl. Get her ass.
Get her, Jade.
Oh my god. How many different quotes can we get in?
So, my next note I wrote was, Jesus Christ!
Yeah!
That's so... And I was
saying that's like a 10-year-old kid.
Cody's 8 years old.
Oh my god.
And also, I think because I
was... Cody can't even sit in the front seat of a car yet.
No! I mean, they don't own a car, but Cody... if I was going off of my theory of, maybe he had a thing for Cody's dad, that's crazy. Yeah. For you to say to, the son of a man that you maybe were in love with or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
It's almost like Oikawa blames Hiroki for his own death. Hiroki, the insects.
Yeah, Hiroki trying to help, the people who tormented Oikawa or whatever for being different.
Yeah, the normies, quote unquote.
And they took Hiroki away from him.
Yeah.
So Cody says that Oikawa doesn't deserve to call himself his dad's friend, and that he would never approve of what Oikawa has done. Oikawa then says that Cody is so much like his father. He's saying that in his own mind. Mm-hmm. And he is surrounded by that mysterious aura.
Mm-hmm.
Blackboard Greymon then enters the scene. And War Greymon is mobilized. Blackboard Greymon is trying to discover the source of the dark energy Oikawa is emanating. Oikawa taunts Blackboard Greymon by saying that all those control spires that were used to create Blackboard Greymon will make a great additional power source for Oikawa.
Mm-hmm. But then, Blackboard Greymon hits him with a comeback.
Blackboard Greymon says, did you create your two flunkies because you were afraid to be alone?
Gagged him. gagged him, I
feel. Gagged him, I
feel. Like, literally, like, Okawa's like, ugh! Yeah. Like, in the very anime way, where they're like,
ugh! Yeah.
And they, like, freeze in time, and it's like, dude, okay, dramatic drama queen. But so, anyway.
Reinforcements arrive.
Oh, I had another note on that. Black Workamon finally found his purpose. To roast. To roast.
They tried to jump to in, and then Agumon was like, let him cook!
Yeah!
So...
Well, it's actually, it's funny, because, like, he's WarGreymon at this point, so he's like, let him cook!
Black WarGreymon hits Oikawa with another line, that power is lonely.
Yeah.
As WarGreymon has been searching and searching for more power, all he has realized is that how lonely he is. So Grandpa appears to confront Oikawa about his friend's death. Grandpa says he'd like to be Oikawa's friend, and Oikawa kind of responds to that and says that you must miss Hiroki even more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa says, I would like to talk with someone about my son. And I was like, that's so sad, because it must be like the only person he can talk with about his son is his son's wife.
Yeah. Which is also like, they equally have trauma around it. So it's not that Oikawa doesn't either, but.
So, and I think he feels guilty about maybe alienating Oikawa as a child. Like, maybe he feels like he could have done more for Oikawa as an adult.
Yeah.
You
know what I just thought of?
That also made me really emotional.
Not to ruin your emotional state, but you know what I also thought of?
What?
If Oikawa really wanted to, like, if he's actually, like, mad at Hiroki about everything, and he really wants to, like, get his revenge, it would be the best revenge. Marrying his wife. Becoming Cody's stepdad.
That'd be crazy.
Turning his dead best friend into a cuck.
Oh my god.
A beta cuck.
So you actually wanted to bring something else up before we move into the last bit.
Yeah, which is that Grandpa also hits Oikawa with his first name, which I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yukio.
Yukio, yeah. Yuki. That's not the theme song.
Your move!
Thank you.
Yukio! My next thought, my thought I wanted to say is that, like, I liked that in the first adventure we got to see a little bit more of the family members. Like, uh-huh. We got great parent characters and, like, Ty and Kari's mom and her, like, inability to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Sora had, like, the conflict with her mom, and then her and Bioman kind of, like, rallied the other parents together.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy's mom, love Izzy's mom. And then we got Joe's brother, Jim. And then in this season, we don't really get a lot of Yoli's family. We just know that it's big. And I mean, they kind of, like, I felt like in the first part of the season, they were always, like, using the convenience store to get, like, snacks for the Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
And we get
Davis' sister.
June.
Yeah.
Bitch,
that's June.
Bitch, that's June.
Bitch, that's June.
I hope she, I don't remember if she appears before the end of the season.
Oh my god.
That might be her last Bitch, that's June. What a great bit.
What a great bit.
And so then we also have
Bit That's June.
Bit That's June. And now, and Cody's grandfather.
Yeah.
So,
playing a very central role to this episode, which I actually think is really cool.
Yeah. So, I like when the adults kind of have stuff to do.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, I guess Jim and June aren't really older, or really adult. Well, Jim might be an adult, but June's not. I was saying, I was like, wouldn't it have been interesting if June became, because she became, like, kind of jaded about the Matt thing. Like, Matt choosing Sora over her, even though she was never really, like, in contest with Sora. Wouldn't it be interesting if she had become a Dark Spore kid?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, the Dark Aura seizes control of Oikawa, and it attacks Grandpa, but Black WarGreymon steps in to take the hit and is critically hurt. And then we see a mysterious silhouette cast over Oikawa of someone we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Black WarGreymon seems to know who it is and who is controlling Oikawa. Oikawa needs to collect the dark spores to achieve his goal, going to the digital world.
He's also, like, got glowing red eyes and, like, clearly, like, possessed now. Like, it's
Oikawa says they are both destined to be alone before taking off. Black WarGreymon says that Oikawa must never be allowed in the digital world. Again.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Black WarGreymon is going to die. But his strength is his last gift, and he calls them all his friends as he seals the gate to Heightened View Terrace. which is why this episode is called The Seal of Black Lord Raymond.
Yeah.
Agumon calls him a true friend, and that he will never forget him.
Yeah. And then the floor they're on, like, lights up in the shape. In the digital
world, it shows the gate, and it lights up in the shape of Black Lord Raymond.
Yeah.
Which is also the shape of War Raymond, but it's fine. It's the Seal of Black Lord Raymond.
Yeah. It was a really interesting anti-hero arc.
It's a really interesting character. I don't know if we really get a lot of more characters like him in Digimon as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know some people are confused. Our plan is to finish out Adventure Zero 2, and then we'll watch the movie.
And do an overall recap of the season.
We'll do an overall recap, watch the movie, review the movie, and then we plan to move on to Tamers. So, we're not going anywhere. I mean, we're churning out these episodes as long as...
snail's pace.
As, you know, the best that we can.
Yeah.
But...
We're gonna be, like, retirees recording our podcast about, like, season 5.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's pretty cute, isn't it?
I like season 5.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you liked me.
I like you, too.
I like you, too. We should, like, date or something.
I'm glad that we have a podcast together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
We are, like, 3 hours deep into recording this because we've lost our audio, like, 4 times. We did lose audio
a lot of times, but we persevered and we...
And we made it.
And we made it. And I'm going to go cry into my pillow.
Yeah. These were two of the best episodes of the season.
I love Black Hawk Greenland.
Yeah. I don't have a lot else to say about them that we didn't already really cover, but they were really strong episodes, and they set up the last little bit very well, I think.
Anyway, I love you guys.
Yeah, I love you guys, too.
Thank you for being patient with us.
Yeah. I'm gonna go free our cat from the prison we put her in so she wouldn't hit the microphone.
Some of the best times in my life are, you know, sitting on Twitter talking about Digimon, so...
Or sitting on a couch talking about Digimon.
Yeah. Please follow our podcast at Two Gays Pod on Twitter. Eventually I'll get Instagram going.
Show off your art.
Show off my Digimon fan art.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us, that's TWOGAYSPOD on Twitter. And if you want to send us email, that is TWOGAYSPOD@gmail.com. And you're all a true friend.
That's true. Just like Blackboard.
Just like Blackboard. Okay, I'm gonna
go. Bye. I'm gonna go now before you.
Bye.
When I was a young boy, my father took me into the city to see a marching band. He said, "Son, when you grow up, would you be the savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned?" He said, "Will you defeat them, your demons, and all the non-believers, the plans that they have made? Because one day I'll leave you a phantom to lead you summer to join the black